open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where you've been.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there. Hello there.
Oh,
hello there.
If you did it just the first, I was like, I like that new
one. You like
one.
That? Like a little hey yo? Like just a little Scott Hall, like hey yo.
No.
Hello there.
Yeah, just one. Boom, done.
Okay.
Short and sweet.
Okay.
Gets the point across.
It does. Yes, indeed. Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm, and the return for a brief moment of the kid. Although he's not feeling well, he's under the weather, but he's going to grace us for 15 minutes at 1:15, Gibbs. Are you excited about that?
I know the reason why.
Why?
Gumball Todd has not confirmed the nerd gumballs with me, and I have not conveyed that to the kid, so therefore he's absent.
It's like a silent protest.
It is. So I've got to bombard Gumball Todd with, he might have to drive to Berea. Watch him walk in here with a box.
Oh, God, it'd be great.
And he'll be like, I'm here to see Matt Wilhelm. And he would do it, too. He does not give a lot of what's.
I've got the gumball nerds. By the way, huge congratulations in order. If you guys haven't seen it, I retweeted it, but certainly go over to Joe Hayden's Twitter, at JoeHayden23, as he had a big announcement, and they are having a boy. Joe Hayden and his lovely wife, Sarah,
awesome.
Pregnant with a boy. And they found out, cool way, I've never seen it done before. Now, I've heard of people where you have, like, a cake party where you cut into the cake.
Yes.
And, like, the color inside is either blue or pink.
Sure.
And so what they did is they had a giant black balloon, and they counted it down, and she popped that balloon with a needle, and all the blue balloons flew into the air, and you got to see their, like, live, real reaction to it, which is awesome.
It is
so
awesome.
So very excited for Joe Hayden and his family, and that's great. It was very cool. Very cool. By the way, one thing I'd like to bring up today on today's show, and I know a lot of you out there are into this game. And what I'm talking about? The Bitmoji game. I'm into the Bitmoji game. I know that Matt Wilhelm's in the Bitmoji game.
My godmother put me on to the Bitmoji game.
Okay.
When she sent me, I think it was my birthday, so like since February.
Okay.
She sent me a Bitmoji, and I'm like, what the heck is that? And she's like, that's me. And I went, huh? And then I kind of put it all together, and I go, it does look kind of like you. And then I came in, like I downloaded the app, and I think I brought it up to you, and then you bombarded me with like three of your Bitmojis. You know, some were G-rated, some were not. PG-13, we'll say, right? So I'm all about Bitmoji, and I know the greatest thing about this is the biggest fan of all is our producer, Jason Gibbs, is a Bitmoji fanatic.
I hate him.
No. Don't change your tune now.
Losers.
You're ridiculous. Why do you hate Bitmojis?
Why? Because that's all you send to me all day long.
I just started yesterday, only because you didn't like it.
I went back and counted last night. I had 75 of them sent by you two idiots.
Yes.
That's it. Now, like, we have a Twitter thread for, like, the show. You know, usually it's just mom jokes directed, but nothing gets done work-wise on it.
You convey the callers extremely well,
yeah,
in between Bitmojis.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all I got yesterday. It's great.
Good. Well, you've got four for every minute we've been on the air.
Yeah, we're going to keep bringing you Bitmojis.
How about
They're
you guys do the show?
We're doing the show. And talking about Bitmojis is a part of the show today.
Yeah, that's fine. Just don't send them to me.
By the way, we will have DeMario Davis for you at 1:30, the kid at 1:15, and then Andrew Healy from Football Outsiders and the ESPN Insider contributor at And Healy on Twitter, who wrote the great article on ESPN using the analytics to determine who will be a bust and who will be a star in this year's quarterback class. And it, like Jared Goff or Goff.
No surprise. Goff.
Because this guy's a smart guy. He's going to talk to us at 2:30, the Friday forecast as well. But I do want to know, tweet me, do you Bitmoji? If you want to tweet your Bitmoji, do it. The person who turned me on to Bitmoji In addition to his other great contributions to this organization, former president of the Cleveland Browns, Alex Shiner. One day I got one, and his is real good. Like, yours is real good because you have
He's got hair.
They can do it.
Right.
Like, it's hard for – they don't have, like, me. They can't capture my nose. They don't have me. But yours is good. Alex Shiner's is almost too good. And he just started sending me all of them, and they were –
because with the glasses.
He's got the glasses. He's got the hair.
The tan.
The stubble. Yeah. The tan. He could go from the suit. Like, he had one of the finer
Bitmojis. I
want to
see a Gibbs Bitmoji.
Oh, God. I want it so bad. Gibbs.
No.
It's all I want, Gibbs.
No.
Do they have – is Bitmoji for Android as well?
Yes.
Because Gibbs stuck in the Stone Age with his Android.
Gibbs.
My Android blows your phone away.
Okay. In whose world?
Perfectly fine.
Even though you've had three new phones in 2015,
well,
your Android blows ours away. What?
I dropped mine.
Okay.
It broke.
So you really are just totally against Bitmojis.
I'm not doing the Bitmoji thing.
Why?
If the Bitmoji we create looks just like you, will you use it?
No.
That's like someone painting, like creating a sculpture in your honor.
Yeah, I just got from our guy Adam Schwartz. He sent me the blue steel one, which is a fine.
Of him?
Yeah, fine.
Nice.
Very good. Very
it's a strong Bitmoji.
Yeah. Why are you so against it? Just because of us?
No, they're stupid. What? Who cares?
How about my Disney gifts? Those
you know
are
what?
Good.
Life is supposed to be fun, Gibbs.
I have a great time in my life. Just so we're clear.
Gibbs, I'm sending you right now a Bitmoji of what I think about your attitude.
See? This is what goes on, people.
And let me
not
follow
the
this
show.
Up.
It's Zagura and Wilhelm sending me Bitmojis while they're supposed to be talking on the air.
No, we sent the Bitmojis yesterday. We had a pre-taped something that we sent Bitmojis during.
Yes.
A lot of pre-taped.
Yeah.
Barnage.
By the way, shout out to our boy at Cam Slam Savage. He says, I need a shout out. I'm listening to you guys at work. Only Cleveland fan here. Well, I think you need to find a new place to work then.
Yeah. Clearly.
Who are these people?
You need an anti Steeler Bitmoji.
Yeah. There should be one. That's a market they haven't tapped into.
Professional sports? You know why?
Royalties
are expensive.
But they do have a Damn Daniel. They have a Damn Daniel Bitmoji, which I absolutely love. They had a great series of Curb Your Enthusiasm one as well.
I didn't get those.
Adam Schwartz says Gibbs would be into it if they had a Jorts Bitmoji. Yeah, true.
Jort Report's coming back in about a month.
Jort Report's coming. By the way, did you guys see the latest development in NFL apparel?
No.
No.
What? You guys were tweeted about this and everything to make fun of me. Nobody saw it? The NFL has released basketball NFL jerseys.
It's terrible.
That is horrible. Horrible, horrible.
So
horrible.
NBA releases jerseys with sleeves, and the NFL releases jerseys like tank tops.
Hold on. You mean to tell me that that would not look great over a pair of jorts or something this summer? A Rob Gronkowski tank top jersey?
With a mullet muffling his name on the back? Yes, sure.
Phenomenal. I hope one day to I'm going to get the Gronk one because I feel like Gronk is the only person that it's acceptable to have one on. As well as, of course, Jared Goff.
I have a small Gronk story. So my wife and I celebrated our 9-year anniversary yesterday.
A semen tov and a mazel tov to you?
No, I don't know what that means, but okay.
It means congrats.
Oh, thank you. And you know what she did is she just got me like 9 little. We didn't do anything because it's just kind of like a day of the week, and you know we've got some things going on.
Sure.
But she got me 9 things. You know, for 9 years. One was like she got me like a GQ magazine. She got me a Starbucks gift card. Some jerky, some sunflower seeds, and then I'm a sweets candy guy. So I got Sweet Tarts, Spree, Nerds, and one other thing. And then she got me a Gronk Monster Energy drink.
And yes!
And I was like, what? I almost was like, do I want to open this? Do I want to throw it away? Do I want to save it? Because I've never seen it.
Yes.
You know, but it's Gronk and the monster spike on the side of a Monster Energy can.
That is phenomenal.
And so
where do you even find that?
I don't know. And I didn't ask. I just go, really? Like Gronk drink? Gronk juice? It's like instead of Gronk juice, it's like Gronk juice. So props to her. I mean, again, very thoughtful, you know, in a time that's kind of been crazy for us. But we will celebrate another day.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And we still have a celebration to get together.
Yeah, I was and I thought about that on the drive-in.
With the kid. I feel like we need to get this on the schedule.
I think May-ish, June-ish would be good before things get too crazy and you and I, you know, are going to have, you know, be in and out of town trying to get, you know, dump some of this vacation before the season starts.
No, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. We got to get our dinner at Gibbs. You're invited.
I'm working on the transportation. I got a company.
Good.
I do as well, if you need to cross-reference a quote.
By the way, Bitmojis are pouring into my timeline, people saying, Gibbs, get into the game.
Dumb.
Get in the Bitmoji game. Other thing I want to talk about before we get into more, you know, Browns topics. Obviously, the announcement today: the Browns have released six scouts. Not a surprise. The Browns had they haven't named the names. The Browns had the largest scouting department in the NFL, and when a new regime comes in, it's very typical to have this kind of turnover.
Sure.
So, not surprised there. One thing Paul DePodesta was going to do was streamline everything, and that's an obvious area for streamlining. And so the Browns did that.
The other bit of news is obviously the preseason schedule has been announced. Sorry to taking the wind out of your sails.
No, you didn't. You didn't. I did in honor of the preseason schedule the way it is. I started off my huddle with "Sup, Bay," because the Browns are going to the Bays. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, national TV for Tampa Bay week 3 of the preseason. Friday Night Lights against Jameis Winston.
It's good. I was talking to, you know, Beasley, one of the producers that will be, you know, a big part of the Dog Pound Report downstairs. Did Tampa Bay do anything interesting? I know they brought back Doug Martin for really good money. Did they make any splashes in free agency or losses for them?
You know, Dirk Cutter comes in as the new coach, so I'd say that's a little bit of a splash for them.
But he was the offensive coordinator anyway.
Right, and they liked him. No real splashes. Okay. I mean, they feel good. They kept Vincent Jackson. They got Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, Austin Seferin Jenkins, Doug Martin, Charles Sims, who I liked a lot coming out of college.
Allen Robinson?
No. Please. Yes, if they had an Allen Robinson tank top, I might think about that. This Gronk one is fantastic.
You know, it's just
by
a matter of time. Every team's going to have one.
Well, right
It'll
now,
probably be a Bortles.
Right now, it appears as though there are only. I'm on NFL Shop right now. It seems that right now they've done a limited release at the beginning. Khalil Mack, Odell Beckham Jr., Gronk, Brady, Watt, Mariota, Sue, Rogers, Theodore, Peyton Manning, and Brandon Marshall. Wow, Theodore. That just caught my eye. It looks like an old school Lakers jersey.
No AP, and they went Theodore?
Oh, and Julio. Julio Jones. Yes. So we do have that schedule. So for those who haven't seen it, I'm sure you have. The home schedule, it starts off week 1 at Green Bay, which will be my first time ever at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, which I'm excited about. The place you won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers.
The G will have no color in it at the 50-yard line, and they will do painted stripes a la like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
In the end zone, the little slashes.
It is amazing.
They don't put any paint on the field for preseason. It's just kind of become their standard.
I love that. So I'm very excited to go there. Number two, I'm going. Number two, then we go
Atlanta
at home.
Here.
Atlanta here, the Falcons, then to Tampa Bay, then home for Chicago. 13th straight year that the Chicago Bears and the Browns play their final preseason game against
one another.
In what
is arguably the worst game of the season.
Well, I happen to know somebody with an idea to drum up a little excitement for that fourth preseason
game.
It
is brutal in every sense of the term.
How much more would you be looking forward to it if you knew you could see me get absolutely steamrolled or have a touchdown?
It's never going to happen.
What uniform number would you wear? Has to be single digit or a teen.
So I would have two choices.
No, what number would you wear?
Pardon?
He's not answering the question, man.
I would wear 16 in honor of Joe Montana. However, I am hoping that number 16 is spoken for at that point, if you know what I mean.
I don't.
Jared Goff wore 16 in college, so I'd imagine he'd want to continue that in the National Football League. If not, I would go with the number of Jeff George as he piloted the run-and-shoot Atlanta Falcons. Number one, baby. Number one. So it's 16 or one.
Would you have Fanboy on the back or Zagura?
Zagura.
Okay.
No consideration of Fanboy, by the way.
What?
I didn't consider writing Fanboy on the back. How dare you? I might write like something like
turd shiner.
I might be like, he hate me. I might pull the he hate me, the he hate me card. I would think that would be one of the great reality TV shows. You're going to see either a miracle or more likely you're going to see me get absolutely destroyed.
I would be honest, and I think it's going to be somewhere right down the middle.
You think there'd be not, like, I'd survive and I wouldn't gain any
you'd
yards?
You'd survive, you'd get a couple yards, and you'd go, wasn't all that eventful. A lot of buildup for nothing.
Well, that would suck.
No, I get all four down.
I'm just telling you what I believe it would be.
Yeah, no. And I'm telling you that would suck.
I agree with you. I think seeing Zagura in full uniform, what would be the best in the world is if the Cleveland Browns okayed it for him to get into uniform, almost like a surprise party. He gets on the sideline, has a belief that he gets in the game, and then the game ends, and he doesn't get even one play. That would be the bigger that would be hilarious. Just the anticipation around everyone that knows that you're going to be in uniform and on the sideline and that you may get in the game. It's like Rudy, but Rudy never got in.
Yeah. I'd probably have to do like a Mike Tomlin on the sideline and disrupt the play.
Trip somebody. Throw out a random football into the game.
What if I just ran onto the field?
I told you I could throw 60 yards.
I just ran on the field. I was like, said, hood. And then just threw it like after the play had already snapped. I'll just come onto the sideline.
12 men penalty.
Yeah. Yes. All right. We'll be back with Kool. And let's get Gibbs on Bitmoji. Gibbs, it's all I'm seeing on my timeline.
My sister and my nephew are in a car right now.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, Brady, don't you start this Bitmoji stuff.
Hashtag.
Do it.
Words.
Brady, it's the best.
What should the hashtag be? Hashtag Gibbs Bitmoji or Bitmoji Gibbs?
I think it should be.
Hashtag go to break.
Gibmoji.
Hashtag it's our show.
Hashtag, yeah.
Kid can wait. Hashtag.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It can only mean one thing. Finally, the kid has come back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Kia!
Home again.
Yeah, welcome back, Dick. And you're still not in studio. You've blown us off for a month now.
Believe you know me. You don't want me in studio today.
You've got the ill na-na?
Nah, I don't got the ill na-na, but this cold is just, it's hard to shake.
You and Gibbs need to stay out of the clubs.
I wish that was the case.
So what's up, the kid? What's going on in the 8 months since we've had you on CBD?
How's your offseason? We've talked about Betonio and Barnage and Kirksey. They talked about their offseason. Let's talk about yours.
Let's talk about your offseason since you're taking a lot of liberties.
My offseason is going well, actually. You know, I'm like the players in the olden days. During the offseason when they had a second job, I've been busy working and trying to make things happen.
How is your golf practice progress? Because you have not found time for us and your faithful listeners who have been very sad about your absence, you have found time to practice golf on a daily basis.
I hit the ball okay today. I'm pulling the ball. I've got to figure out why I'm pulling the ball. It's driving me crazy. But overall, I'm pleased with the progress.
Dr. Kurt is begging for a foursome, like ASAP once
Let's
this weather
do
breaks.
It. Yeah,
four
Let's
of us.
Do it.
We want a home and home.
Yeah, I mean, based on the reputation that Dr. Kurt gives of himself, I'm thinking Dr. Kurt plays at about a +5, maybe.
Okay. More, probably more like a 9 or 10.
Oof, that's scary.
That's a bad handicap. That is.
As far as he hits the ball, or as far as he says he hits the ball, and you confirm, that's a scary. He can be my partner.
He's good.
What are you're just dumping me like that?
If a guy hits the ball 350 and is a 9, you should be dumping me too.
I wouldn't do that though.
He does not. I don't believe it. He
We're
has
boys.
Hit the ball 350.
You don't believe that he does it on a consistent basis?
I don't.
If he did it on a consistent basis and straight, he wouldn't be a 9, the kid.
Fair point.
The kid, what are your thoughts about Bitmojis?
I don't subscribe to Bitmojis one bit. I'm with Gibbs.
Why?
You know what? My words can tell you how I feel.
Thank you.
My words can tell you how. Sometimes a pitcher is worth 1,000 words, the kid.
Yeah, I think I'm better with words than I am with pictures.
I get a little tired of Gibbs' LOL.
Yeah.
I don't do LOL myself. You know.
It is fair. I overuse that.
And there's only so many exclamation points.
Like, yeah, how many times have you really LOL'd when you say LOL? That's what I want to know.
Never.
What's your ratio of genuine laughing out loud when you say LOL?
I would say probably 75 to 80%.
What?
Wow. So what are
wow. You do a lot of laughing.
You do a lot of out loud laughing. Good for you.
You must live a
great
life.
Yeah.
You know, as Jimmy V said, you should laugh every day and cry every day. Gibson's got the laughing down pat.
Yeah, I don't want to cry every day.
Someone wrote in my yearbook, when I wake up in the morning and look down at my, I smile and frown and laugh and cry all at the same time. That was words to live by.
Gibbs laughs daily and cries daily when he realizes who his boss is.
Yes. Yes.
That's just wrong, man. You can't make personal attacks.
The bronze ball peen.
Now we're in an awkward moment.
The silver sledge. Would you Bitmoji if your boss wanted you to?
If I was forced to.
Yeah. What if Herb wanted you to start Bitmojiing all over the place, kid?
It's either your wife making you Bitmoji or you making yourself Bitmoji because you're your own boss, bud.
Do it for freedom.
I'm not a Bitmoji person.
All right. Kid, what do you think, you know, first time since I'm sure you've got a chance to hear all the press conferences, RG3, Hugh Jackson, Josh McCown. What were your takeaways about the Browns here in their first week back?
Here's what I'm going to say. You know, I drink the Kool-Aid, and I've already convinced myself RG3 can regain his rookie stature and take us to the promised land. However, as I said to you off air, he's tremendous in press conferences and always has been. So we're going to have to see it on the field before I go to full-out fanboy mode. Hugh Jackson, you know, listen, what he's done over the last 5 years as a coach sort of speaks for itself. I'm anxious to see how he can work with what we have. I do think that, and it was the right call, but I do think that there's been a little bit of a tear-down process before we built back up, and it had to be done. I mean, these people that were like, the funniest was last week when Gibson was saying that Whitner shouldn't have been released or something. I mean, come on, we won 3 games. Well, should we have brought everyone back and given them more money? I mean, it really was, I think the way they're going about it is perfect. It's scientific. It's what has to be done. It's unemotional, and let's go. That said, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to predict playoffs this year.
Kid, with
what if they draft Jared Goff?
I hope they do draft Jared Goff.
Okay, if they do draft Jared Goff, you signed RG3, you got Austin Davis under contract, you got Connor Shaw under contract. What do you believe we should do with Josh McCown at this point?
I think you got to do right by the guy. If you can make a trade, make a trade. If not, you release him because he's never done anything but what the organization has asked
True.
Of him. And I think if you make one effort to trade him, and if you can't trade him, you grant him his release because he's not going to play if you're going to draft Goff. If you're not going to draft the quarterback, you keep him as RG3's backup. But that said, if you do draft Goff, I want to see RG3 play. And if he plays well, let him play the whole year and let Goff do it old school, Carson Palmer-esque, and sit out the first year. And if RG3
behind John Kitna, Carson Palmer said.
If RG3 has a great year, then you're in a position of, wow, we have two quarterback assets. Let someone pay a king's ransom for one of them.
And that would not be a bad situation to be in. Roto World, by the way, saying today that the Broncos are potentially interested in Josh McCown, which for him would be a great circumstance and an opportunity to play and go ahead and try to get a Super Bowl there with the Denver Broncos. Kid, preseason schedule out. Browns going to Green Bay and to Tampa Bay, side of our golf trip earlier this year. Is that a trip you might be making for all of your fans in case they wanted to see a preseason game and have an opportunity to spend some quality time with Keaton?
I may be on that trip. Rumor has it I might be making the trip, and I might be making a trip to a certain golf club to take my licks back. The course has handed out quite a beating to me in
Maybe
February.
You'll find your putter and your 7-iron, too.
Maybe.
Those are the casualties of the trip to Tampa, by the way.
That's all you need. If anybody out there is wondering if I had a good time in Tampa, all you need to know is I lost 2 clubs. And if you can have more fun on a golf trip than that, God bless.
God bless you. That's right. Well, hopefully we'll get back down there. But I like the preseason schedule. Green Bay, never been there. Have you ever been to Lambeau, the kid?
No, never been there.
That's a football mecca. Don't you think that's like a must-go for any football fan?
Yes, I definitely do.
It's kind of like Fenway.
Yeah, I do think it's a must-go, and I will go there at some point, but I'm going there for a regular season game.
I agree with that.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I'm going there with Mr. Wilhelm, you know, seeing as he won a world championship there.
Wow.
You also have to go with the one place in town. My buddy has a hookup there. It's one price. It includes your game ticket within the first 30 rows of the leading up to the field. And it includes all you can eat and all, more importantly, all you can drink, liquor, beer, whatever the case, at Brett Favre Steakhouse for 4 hours before the game.
Wow, that's tremendous.
It is amazing.
I do feel, though, if I'm with Wilhelm, won them a Super Bowl ring, that, you know, I probably...
Free Willies are in order.
Free Willies.
Come on. And a tour of the facilities.
Free Willies.
Yeah. Free Willies. Why would there be anything less when you're with Mr. Wilhelm? The kid, we're talking May. We're trying. Let's try to get this dinner, the picks dinner that I am the champion of in May.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. So, Gibbs, as soon as you have transportation knocked down, we will book. And right now we've got two potential restaurants. We've got Ken Stewart's in Akron, and then we've got the one that you found.
I was going to say, what about Wilhelm's?
Shy Cellars. Best prime rib in the world, they claim.
I mean, I'm willing to try it out. But Ken Stewart's, you know, they treat us pretty well when we go down there, and they could probably send transportation for us.
They don't do that anymore. That's out of their game.
Well, they might do it for us just because they enjoy our company so much. They've done a lot of things for me in that restaurant, let's just say that.
Yes, they have. Special check presented to the kid one time we were there, like nothing I've ever seen
really? In
the United States of America. True story. We'll talk about that off of the air, of course. All right, the kid, it's good to have you back. We know you're a little under the weather. Go get healthy. Get rested, because while Mother Nature is coming a good time for you, because it's not golf week this week, next week it's time.
It's on.
By the way, don't forget to set your DVR, the kid, this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on News Channel 5 WEWS. It's the return of the Dog Pound Report with myself, your friend Matt Wilhelm, Sir Andrew Gribble, and Andy Baskin with all the latest on the Cleveland Browns.
That's fantastic. And for all you listeners out there that are concerned with what I'm concerned with also coming up on TV soon, an ESPN product, the 30 for 30 on OJ, it's almost embarrassing how excited I am for that.
It does look very, very good. Did you just finish out the OJ show?
I have not finished it. I've got to go back. I've got two episodes left. I got to watch those. That's been good. But this 30 for 30, I mean, the 30 for 30 series is tremendous, as Jordan Spieth has opened up a four-shot lead for those concerned. The 30 for 30s have been great, and this one just looks like it's going to be out of this world.
It looks good. There have been a couple recently. There's a John Daly one coming up.
Ooh.
On his win at Crooked Stick. That's going to be something.
It's so perfect that he won at Crooked Stick.
With Squeaky Medlin as his caddy, filling in for Nick Price, because Nick Price was the last one out. And Long John needed a caddy. That's when he had the Whale. Remember his driver was the Whale? Grip
yes.
It and rip it.
Yes.
1991. Amazing.
I wonder if John Daly could teach me not to pull it.
John Daly could probably teach you a lot of things.
Yeah, most of which would get me in a lot of trouble.
Absolutely.
Allegedly.
All right, the kid, appreciate your time as always, and we can't wait to have you back in the studio, my friend.
All right, have a good one.
All right, the kid here. When we come back, we're going to hear from another new Brown making his first trip here into Berea, and that is DeMario Davis, the new linebacker. We'll have his press conference for you when we return.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We got to get to the chorus so everybody knows why we're the reason for the season. Here it comes. Can I take? Here it comes.
Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend.
Shout out to my crew.
Yeah.
Johnny Mac.
The Zach Ryder version is way better, just FYI. FYI. All right, we are back, and so are the Browns here in Berea. And DeMario Davis, one of the new Browns, three-year starter, started the last 48 games as a member of the New York Jets, physical inside linebacker, tough guy, a lot of leadership. We talked to Christian Kirksey, and he said that he feels like he's known, been playing with this guy for 10 years, and he just got to know him. We'll hear that interview with Christian Kirksey on Monday, by the way. But DeMario Davis came and addressed the media, had some gems, and I think you'll like what he had to say.
Feels good to be here. Got here, found a place, got the family here. Everything's good, you know, in the locker room. Everything's cool, making an adjustment, so everything's good so far.
I talked to Joe, and he was saying that feels like one of the main concentrations he wants for this defense is to focus on improving, stopping the run. What do you feel like you can do to help that aspect of the Browns defense?
I mean, as an inside backer, you have to just be able to run and tackle. You got to be able to come downhill. You got to know how to fit up, where you're supposed to be, being in the right spot. It's kind of on linebackers to kind of lead by example. You're kind of the quarterback of the defense, so you got to just be ready to play at a high standard. And I just try to bring attitude and effort to wherever I'm at, whatever the situation is. And I feel like if I can do my job at a high level, that's all I can be accountable for, you know. And I think when you're playing at a high level and you're doing the right thing, other guys see that and they do the same.
When you're a free agent and you talk to lots of teams, what was it about this one that made you say, okay, this isn't the graveyard of football. This isn't a team that's just always down on its luck. And why did they convince you this would be a fun place to be?
I think it was more about the opportunity. It was an opportunity. It was a good opportunity for me. And the new staff, the new regime, you can kind of feel the optimism that they're trying to go in a different direction. And I know what that looks like. I went through it in college. I went from an average team to a team that's now won 4 conference championships in a row. So I've kind of seen that, and I had that similar feeling when I came here. I could feel it. And so I just wanted to be a part of the journey.
Did they talk to you much about, you know, obviously you're a new guy, but a leadership role and what that might entail?
Yeah, we talked about it. I think the coaches understand who I am as a player, on and off the field, who I am as a person. And they knew what they would get when they brought me in. They had a good grasp before I even said a word of who I was. And that was another reason I wanted to come and be a part of this organization. I'm just here to bring attitude and effort. That's all I can bring, positive attitude every day, great effort. I feel like if you bring maximum effort every day, you can be the best person that you can be, a best player that you can be, and that's success. And I think if we can get everybody doing that, then we'll be successful as a team.
I'm not saying it was a dirty hit or anything like that, but did you talk to Josh McCown about that hit in the opener?
No, I haven't had a chance to talk to him about that, but we've had other conversations. I guess we're going to just try to bury that under the dirt.
Who do you think had a good grasp of you? Is there a connection here on the staff or in the front office that had that good grasp of who you were?
I think it was collective. First, I talked to Sashi. He understood. Ray understood. Johnny Holland, linebacker coach, they understood. Ray just wanted to more so hear me make checks and make calls because he hadn't heard me talk before. Ray understood it. Coach Hugh understood it. So I think it was just collective. And they must have sat in a meeting and talked about it or whatever, but everybody was on the same page. And you know, that's what you want.
A young guy coming into the league, your head coach kind of very closely compares you to Ray Lewis. How did you A, take that, and B, as time went on, was that a hard thing to kind of, because that's every story that's ever written about you, Rex Ryan compared him to Ray Lewis. How have you processed that over the years? What do you feel about the comment?
I think it was more of a media headline, how it kind of blew up. I've never been a big fan of the media because they praise you and they tear you down the same, so I don't let that dictate who I am, you know. I try to be the same person every day regardless. I think when he made that comparison, I've talked to Ray quite a few times. He's a guy who exhorts and encourages people. You know, he ignites energy in the guys around him. And so I think I am similar to that in that facet, and that's what Rex was talking about, more so than play on the field. It was more about character, who you are as a person, you know, living a life in a way that challenges the people around you. And I guess if you ask my teammates and ask my coaches, they would probably say the same, that's who I am as a person.
Robert Griffin's on the other side of the ball. Just from the standpoint, he's a high-profile guy. What was your reaction to the team bringing him in?
Oh, I was very excited. I've always been a fan of his game. He did great things in the offense that was built around him. I think when they made different type of changes, he couldn't perform to the best of his ability. But I know that Hugh is a great offensive mind and knows how to work with different abilities. And I feel like that's a great fit. And I think they're going to do some magical things. So I'm excited to watch. I'll be on the sideline watching like you guys. So I'm excited to see what happens.
DeMar, your career the first couple of years was going nothing but this. Last year, it seemed like you kind of shared position for a while, had some trouble in coverage. Was it just a one-off year, or how do you explain last year as far as your production and having to share time in the job?
Well, I feel like anytime you set a high standard, you know, you got to live up to it. And I set a very high standard for myself, and I always try to push the standard on myself. But life is about adversity. You know, if you look at anything in life, nothing is always on a constant up. There's going to be a rock in the road, a bump on the ground that happens. So it was one of those years, you can kind of say that. But it's all about how you respond to adversity, you know. So you can kind of say, I kind of got a chip on my shoulder about that, you know, because I expect higher of myself than anybody. And so, and then when you talk about, you know, coverage, I got beat on three plays. The reason why it looks bad is because I never got beat on a play, you know? And so when you set that high standard, you got to live up to it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited about the opportunity that's in front of me. And, you know, everything that I've done before, it doesn't matter. It's all about what you do today, you know? People only remember you about what you do last. So I'm just excited about this opportunity in front of me. I'm trying to make the most of it.
You know, it's like you probably replace Carlos Dansby in this defense. So how do you compare your game to his?
I can't lie. I haven't really watched his game a lot. I seen he's had a lot of great production. He's done a lot of great things in his game. He's played in a long time. Anytime you see a guy who's played in the league 12 years, that speaks of itself, because it's very hard to stay in this league. And so that alone speaks for itself. But then when you look at his numbers, you know, he's been at the top of everything. So I can't say I really watched this game to say what I can compare. I've seen the stats and the production. But I'm a different guy. I'm my own man. So that's all I can be at the end of the day.
Mario, it seems like it's going to be you and Chris Kirksey starting inside. Are you familiar with Kirksey's game at all? And what do you know about him?
Like I said, let me tell you just about me. I don't really watch football outside of film when I'm preparing for an opponent. I just don't really watch a lot of other teams, but just being in the locker room, getting to meet Kirko is what we call him. He's just a high energy guy, and that's what you need. He brings a positive attitude every day. He works extremely hard, and that's what you got to have. So I'm excited to play alongside him. I can't wait to see what kind of player he is on the field.
I know, you guys, your never real intention, I would think, is to really hurt a player. Good hits, but that play on Josh was a play that was shown all over the place and was a huge play in the game because you guys forced a fumble. What do you guys remember talking about, like, when you got to the sidelines? Because it was you spun in the air, you hit him, forced a fumble, ended up being a touchback.
Really, man, that's so far behind. I can't even really think back that far. I mean, it was a play that happened. It was unfortunate, you know, for him. But, I mean, it's kind of behind us, you know, so just go for it, I guess. No, I haven't, because we didn't really have a personal relationship, but now we're beginning to form one, so I'm sure we'll talk about it and kind of joke about it a little bit, but, you know, like I said, it's in the past, and we go for it. He's a great guy, you know, from what I've had a chance to see and just talking to him a couple of times. We sit at the same table and we eat breakfast in the morning, so I have a chance quite a few times to talk to him.
Is that what's weird about there's so much talk about hits to the head? I mean, you weren't targeting him, and he got spun right before you hit him. Is that like when defenders get flags all the time? And I know that wasn't flagged, but it's just such an instant. Something can change. You're going to tackle a guy, and all of a sudden he's in the air, and you end up hitting him in the head. Is it hard for defenders in cases like that to let up?
It's a tough game. You know, first of all, let me say, you know, I really appreciate what the NFL is doing, you know, trying to protect us. You know, they're trying to protect us from ourselves. I tell everybody, you got to be a little crazy to play football. And so you get a bunch of crazy people on the field, they're going to tell them what they're going to do. But we need somebody to help regulate that. And that's what the NFL is trying to do, make it a safer game. I think in that, you know, they see us do so many acrobatic things and make these extremely great plays. They think that we're fully in control of every single centimeter of action, you know. And so it's just a bang-bang play, you know. I don't really remember that play much, but, I mean, it happens all the time. You know, that's one that people can see. You know, it was in wide open field. But it's plenty of plays like that that happen in the hole, you know, that people can't see. And they're just as intense. And so the league is doing a really good job just protecting players. I thank the NFL for getting rid of the chop block. Offenses can't chop block no more, or cut block, whichever one you want to call it, because that was very dangerous too, you know. So, I mean, they're protecting us, and you got to be appreciative of it.
That was new Browns linebacker DeMario Davis. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And at the top of the hour, Andrew Healy, who authored, penned, typed the article about the quarterbacks on ESPN Insider that we'll be referencing with the prediction of success for Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, and others, will be with us, talk about the methodology they use, how much they believe in it, etc., and tell you the results firsthand when we come back. That's at 2 o'clock here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and Jason Gibbs. Gibbs standing fast, resolute on the Bitmoji. You're getting some support, Gibbs, I'll have you know. A lot of Bitmoji tweets out there.
I have 65 texts during that press conference, and they all came from you two.
We've got way more than that. You're
way
bad
more.
At math.
Yeah. Your phone's just, your Android's a little behind.
Slow. It's a little slow.
No. That was just during the last 10 minutes.
No. We know.
No, I know.
We had a goal and we exceeded it. And our goal was much higher than 65.
So you have probably another 40 still.
Probably
coming.
At least. At least. Behind enemy lines, G.I. George likes DeMario Davis line. You got to be a little crazy to play football. Do you agree with that, Matt Wilhelm? Are you a little crazy?
I guess being a professional, I don't technically show it on a daily basis, but yes, I don't. The people who know me best know that there's some screws missing.
Right now, I mean, I think the fact that he's against Bitmojis means that Gibbs is a little bit crazy, and he doesn't play football.
He's a few cards short of a full deck.
Is anybody else surprised that we have not heard anything on Josh Gordon? Is everybody expecting?
I am.
I'm expecting at 4 o'clock today we're going to get like something on Josh Gordon, and I'm guessing it's not going to be good.
Today?
Yeah.
Is that when it's supposed to come?
No, nobody, who knows? It was supposed to come weeks ago.
Well, it was supposed to come after didn't Goodell speak about it at the owner's meeting?
And he said like in the next week.
Okay. And that's 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Roger the Dodger. He doesn't care.
Roger the Dodger. He's dodging exactly what he's doing.
He does not care one iota. What do you think, Gibbs? Do you think this today the day?
Probably, because that's what normally happens on Fridays. When you just want a nice, quiet Friday,
yeah,
that's usually when things
go. And it'll, of course, happen after our show.
Yeah, well. About 3:05.
Yeah, right.
That's usually how it works out.
Are you looking forward to any of these preseason games? Are you excited about any of them?
I love going to Green Bay. I love
I'm thrilled for that. But I'm bummed because it's the first one, so we probably won't even see Aaron Rodgers.
That is also true. Yeah. But I do I like that Thursday I like that game 3 against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I like the Winston. Hey, and don't forget Atlanta, Alex Mack coming back.
Not the only person coming back.
Yeah, there's a couple more.
Yeah, but I think that's all totally different now. Kyle Shanahan's coming back, but it's none of the people that he had issues with are here.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I just, I told you, I hate that fourth preseason game. It is brutal.
If you could drop the ideal four preseason opponents.
I am upset that the battle for the barge, our little matchup with Detroit, the little Great Lakes rivalry.
Yeah. I'd like it to be – I would like Detroit, Chicago, Indianapolis – and I mean, I'll keep Tampa, but it doesn't make sense. If I'm going just geographically speaking, and then like Minnesota, I think it would be fun.
I was going to say Minnesota. Especially new stadium, Minnesota. What is it? M&T, not M&T Bank, is it? U.S. Bank Field, right?
Well, they haven't finished the dome yet.
M&T, they haven't finished the dome next year. M&T
is. Oh, is it next year?
M&T is Baltimore.
You're right. I think it's U.S. Bank.
I'd like to go. I'd like to check that out. So maybe we can wait till 2017.
Yeah, that new stadium, the Viking ship, is going to be pretty sweet.
Oh, God, it's going to be amazing. The good thing is, though, this year, two trips to Florida. Preseason Tampa, regular season Miami.
Big fan. Great. And that Tampa one, that's always great. If we stay at the same place, man, that was a palace last year. And it's always good when you don't have to get up, like, at 6 a.m. to be on the first bus at 7, like – you know, we do when we have to go and set everything up on game day and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, you could chill out a little bit.
Yeah, night games are the best.
Yeah. You don't have to be on a bus till 2 o'clock. It's great.
I wonder if, because it's in Tampa, they'll consider hanging out in Tampa on Saturday and flying back Sunday.
Nice try. Yeah. Enjoy that. We'll enjoy that flight home at 2 a.m. I'll remind you of that when we're still in the air flying home. Although Simon's a whiz, he might be able to get us home quicker than that.
He is. He's the best in the world at what he does. All right, one of the guys that is at the forefront of the analytics movement and someone who certainly has strong opinions on these quarterbacks, Andrew Healy. We've been talking about that article on ESPN. He is going to be with us from footballoutsiders.com, contributor for ESPN Insiders. You can follow him on Twitter, @AndHealy, and he will join us when we return to kickoff hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily.